old man sitting down. Watch out. This is, you know what it's like to feel nervous about sitting down.
Have you had that before? Like a...
What? Yeah. Well, nerve issues, what I've got at the moment. You're like, you approach every chair like, oh, you mother...
Is that 30 seconds in?
Yeah.
Just barely.
So we don't get demonetized for that. I can bleep it.
Yeah, you better bleep
you
that
want
one.
To bleep that one?
Bleep it.
Bleep it. But here we are, Mark. A day late, a buck short.
Yeah, we are a day late. It's not my fault.
It's my fault. I running a little bit worse for wear. And speaking of running worse for wear, probably people will be worse for wear if they have to stare at our crotches too much.
No, there's not much crotch in that shot.
Not much crotch in that shot. Here lies Mark Morgan. There's not much crotch in that shot.
So, Tony.
Yes.
We're going to talk about Super Saturday.
We're going to talk about Super Saturday.
The incredible weekend that it was.
You're seriously starting to talk
however,
about...
However.
Oh, yeah.
Before we get to that.
Let's not go into too many details, okay?
I know. I'll keep your...
Yeah.
Your integrity, your reputation intact.
Yeah.
It should be said, though.
What goes on tour stays on tour.
That it was a long night for me.
Yes.
Watching all those games because they kicked off at 3:10 in the morning New Zealand time.
Damn, son.
And I got home at about 2 in the morning New Zealand time from your stag do.
Yeah, it was about that when we left the last bar.
Because you're getting married.
Getting married. So I had the old stag do, had the fellas about, had some fun and activities.
There was a ton of people there. You know a lot of people.
I know people. Yeah.
Good people.
Yeah. Apart from that one guy.
That one guy.
You know who you are, that one guy. No, they're all really great people, actually. Very, very good group of mates I've got.
Mm.
It was a good time. I hope everyone had a great time. At my expense, mainly. Look at this. Look at that.
Oh, yeah, I missed that part.
Did you miss that whole bit?
I missed the whole waxing.
Oh, really?
I was too busy talking rugby with Dylan.
Oh, did you miss that? Oh, that was a good part.
I missed the whole waxing.
Oh, yeah, I got some strange... patches or there was basically a quiz show with lead in it, and if I didn't answer the question right, I had to get a waxing. And even when I was answering them right, I was just so covered in wax strips by people being overzealous about putting it, so I just got ripped up. Yeah,
I was off talking rugby with a South African dude and his Kiwi mate.
Oh, was that the guy I met as well?
Yeah.
They were nice folks.
They were.
Pulled
me a beer.
You thought you said
my favourite kind of people.
You had beers. Did you put? When did the tab run out? Were you buying drinks once you went to the second bar?
I didn't buy a drink the whole night.
Well, that's good. There you go. This is what it's like. This is the life of a.
I did chip massive, into your fund.
I know, but I was just saying that it's a massive. It's that's the life of a massive internet celebrity like yourself. When I go out, I don't even buy a drink. You just.
So I don't know. With the second bar, were we buying drinks or what?
I don't think... Well, you would have known. You would have remembered it.
Well, people just kept coming. Aaron was like, do you want a drink, Mark? What would you like? Your mate Mike was like, Mark, do you want a drink? And I was like, okay. Yeah. You got me a drink at one point. I think...
I definitely didn't pay for a drink the whole night.
I think your mate Charlie might have got me a drink.
Yeah, right.
A lot of people got me drinks.
And then you decided to go home and watch some rugby.
Yes.
Yeah.
Without really...
I'm on a different beer than you. We're
Oh, no, we've started off differently.
Well, that's okay. We can manage it.
Mine's fragrant.
This is fragrant too. There's a lot happening in this jobby.
Jobby in Scotland means shit.
It does, doesn't it? Hopefully this doesn't taste like...
We say it just to mean thing.
Like, it's a job. Jobby. Yes, but we survived. The reason we didn't do it last night was there was someone staying here in this room.
Studio.
And someone had the audacity to stay in the studio last night under all the lights. Which was problematic, but we could have done it in the lounge.
And you injured yourself.
But I've got some nerve stuff going on in my back, which is extremely painful.
I think he did it to himself on the stag do. Seeing the state that he left in, I genuinely believe.
Yeah,
it's related.
I think if I had us like a nice little evening where I had a couple of cups of tea and read The Great Gatsby by myself.
You'd be fine. I would be good as gold.
I would have woken up the next day going,
let's watch some Six Nations Super Saturday.
Yeah, let's get into it. But no, I filled myself full of chemicals, alcohol-related. Well,
yeah, alcohol.
And I then injured myself.
I believe it.
Damn it. Oh, well. We survived. We survived, and we lived to tell the tale. And Mark, you enjoyed your time with my friends?
They're good guys.
They're good blokes,
yeah. Talked a bit of rugby with a few of them.
Yeah, there was one guy, Sam Kingston, who's probably the biggest rugby fan out of all of them. He was saying, I don't know when, but at some point I'm just going to lay into that guy, pointing at you, going, because he knew you're a rugby YouTuber, yep, with the most punishing rugby chat I can think of.
Yeah, he came in all guns blazing.
What was his?
He had hot takes. He loves Dave Rennie.
Oh, yeah.
He was talking about selections and Tupai at 13.
He likes Tupai.
Yeah, he likes Tupai at 13. So right, he had a lot. Okay. I was listening. I was chatting some rugby.
I don't even think he'd watch the pod.
It's all right. He doesn't have to.
There you go. But Aaron, you met Aaron. He's a long-time listener.
He bought me a drink. Or got me a drink, one way or another. He went away and came back with a drink in hand, and I drank it.
I think you should credit it to him.
I should.
100%.
He's almost like he's a sponsor of the pod.
I got your drink when you first got in. I said, what do you want, Mark?
Yes.
There was definitely the tab going at that stage.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. But no, it was good time. Love a tab.
Yeah, good time.
Eric got me a drink right as we were about to leave as well, so I really had to down that sucker.
Yeah, but yeah, feel that.
Smooth.
You know what?
It's a pity I missed you getting waxed.
Yeah.
I saw other things.
Yes, which we don't need to go into too much detail about.
No, that's right.
It's quite full on. But anyway, we got through it all.
It was.
I have marks all over me. I'm sore. Waking up with shame and regret on a Monday is nothing that I'm not used to, but hey.
Let me ask you a question.
Go for it, yes. Do I need my reading glasses?
What do you know about para-planning?
Like parachute planning?
I don't think that was where my brain went as well.
Para-planning.
But that's not what para-planning is.
Parasympathetic nervous system, and the sympathetic nervous system is parasympathetic is about what calms you, and the sympathetic nervous system is what stresses you out, isn't it?
We have a sponsor.
Are they about the parasympathetic nervous system?
No.
What are they about?
Paraplanning.
Like parachute? No, we'd go back to that. I need my reading glasses were right there. Okay, I got to go this distance I can.
Yeah.
Sponsor. W2 Paraplanning.
There's a link in the description.
Your trusted and efficient outsource partner for financial professionals delivering excellence through expertise, flexibility, and innovation. What is it?
Outsourced back-end support for financial advisors. They do things like reports, they do research, they do admin. In rugby terms...
Why does it matter?
They do all the... Like the grunt work. Right. They're doing the forward stuff so that the sexy backs can do their thing.
And wow, fantastic. But why does it matter, really? Why do we really need the forwards?
It saves time.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Let's advisors focus on the clients and making some moolah.
Making that quiche. Making that fine dollars, you see? I like to come out of my paraplanning situations with an advantageous financial position.
They've got a very slight... I haven't shown it to you, but I'll show it to you after. Yeah, that's pretty much all you need to read. Oh, but, fantastic. They've got a very slick website.
Really?
Like...
Should I do a little thing? Yeah,
of all the websites we've been sponsored by, that one is maybe the slickest. I don't understand that part. I'm too dumb. That's why, for their sponsored beer, because they bought us some beers, I chose the beer, which you're drinking, Hazed and Confused.
Because I am confused.
Because I was confused about what they do. But if you know what that is, check these guys out. There's a link down in the description because, yeah, if that's your world...
Do we need to say, when anyone does any sort of financial thing, they say, all financial advisory given on this channel is done at your own risk and not at the behest or accountability of Two Cents Gets Distracted,
a rugby podcast.
There we go. Rugby's greatest podcast.
Yeah, rugby is the greatest podcast. But yes. Thank you to the team.
Take care of your money, and if you want Paraplanning to take care of your money, give them a shout. Thank you, Paraplanning.
That's what they do.
Fantastic. Like it.
Now, believe it or not,
We've got another one.
We've got two sponsors.
Two for two.
We've had such a drought.
Yeah, maybe one at a time, fellas and fellalises.
Now, I get the feeling this sponsor is a somewhat, I don't want to say avid, but probably a regular viewer right. of the pod based yeah. on the we script here? We have. I've even bolded it for you so you don't need your reading glasses.
Okay.
I was going to put it in...
So I'm T.
Yeah, you're T for Tony. I was going to put it in red and green like he sent it through me, but my color, my printer doesn't have any more color in the cartridge.
Why does he... How does he know about my bad back?
Exactly.
What the fuck?
Oh, right. So...
I do have a bad back right now. You got a camera on me?
We have a script. By the way, I feel like part of the reason people want a sponsor is partly because they want to promote their business or service.
Yeah.
But also just partly to make you read a script and to see your reaction to it.
All right, fantastic.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah, Mark.
Have you ever thought about trying powerlifting?
Yeah, you know what? I love the gym, but you know what really bothers me about the gym? Everything's so fucking heavy. Just a bit of a bum. Anyway, geez, Mark, you know with my bad back, I'm no more than a pillow princess. Fuck me, Ned.
No, I said power lifting, not power bottom.
Oh, holy smokes. Well, that reminds me of my late teens. Sorry, Mark. I must have misheard you. I'm wearing a hat.
You should go in the hat.
Please. Please. Please tell me more.
Well, power lifting is a sport where you compete by squatting, bench pressing, and deadlifting the most weight possible. Did you know that New Zealand actually has a strong, proud history at the Powerlifting World Championships?
No, I didn't know that. Oh, okay. That sounds interesting, but I bet South Africa are probably way better than New Zealand, right? They've got that secret saucy juice.
No, they're dog shit.
Yes.
But even worse than that, the Brits and the Yanks are the two best nations.
What the fuck? Eddie Hall.
Hmm.
And that Hoff Hossen man, they both lifted
Eddie Hall's such a massive man. And
he lifted half a ton, didn't he?
Mm.
Oh, God, no. There has to be a way for us to get stronger.
You won't believe it.
No, I won't.
But my good pal, Owen Fagan.
Oh, yeah.
Of
I'm glad that he put it phonetically for us. He did. That was really good.
Irish names can be tricky. At ESF Strength has paid me to say that he's an online powerlifting and strength and conditioning coach who wants to help all the 2CGD fans get as big, strong, athletic, succulent, and as handsome as possible.
Oh, where are we? Oh, stuff my keister. It's almost Easter. That's a good line. What sort of service does he provide? Blowjobs? Just about hand stuff, butt stuff, anything like that?
He provides training programs, technique critique, and 24/7 support via WhatsApp.
So the power bottom really doesn't have anything to do with it.
Apparently not.
Okay, so it's all powerlifting. So if you want some freaky stuff, you might have to go elsewhere. But this guy sounds like he's got some great services. Oh, this service must cost a pretty penny.
All of this is available from the low, low cost of £50 per month.
But £50? No way.
You two CGD listers can get themselves 50% off their first month by using the code GAZAMANIA.
GAZAMANIA.
When registering their interest. So whether you want to improve your nation's powerlifting pedigree, improve your athleticism for your sport, or just be the strongest version of yourself, get in touch with Owen at esfstrength@gmail.com or on Instagram, he's at FaganLifts. Both those are down in the description.
Owen Fagan, what a guy. He sounds to me like rugby's greatest powerlifting coach.
There you go.
He really does. What a legend.
What a legend. What a script.
What a cracking script. Yes.
You can tell he's a guy who watches the pod.
Oh, stuff my keister. It's almost Easter.
And some of that could be relevant for actual rugby people, players, yeah. You know, get stronger. Strength and conditioning.
I keep on thinking of someone stuffing their keister full of
Easter eggs. Easter bunnies.
Yeah. Okay, well, that was great. Thank you very much to those two awesome sponsors.
Fantastic. Oh, yes. By the way,
the powerlifting.
The beer that he bought us is called Lake Man. Big Hairy, because I can imagine big hairy men.
I'm hairy. Powerlifting. I'm hairy. I'm not small. You wouldn't describe me as big, though, would you?
They kept telling me at your stag do that I'm much taller than you. They assumed I was a lot shorter based on the pod being filmed I'm this way, sitting down.
I'm always talking about how tall you are.
I guess they don't really watch.
You're 7.5 feet, for fuck's sake. Yeah, You're a tall bastard.
Yes. I was the tallest person at your stag, just so you know.
Oh, and then Todd didn't go. And he might be... Yeah, because Ryan's quite tall.
Ryan's the big unit dude?
No, that's... The big unit dude who's bald, that is Brooke.
No, I didn't meet Brooke.
Didn't you meet Brooke? Bald guy with a beard.
No.
Very big.
Oh, yes. No, yeah, I did meet him very briefly. No, there's another guy.
Yeah. The other guy, that's Ryan.
I met Ryan.
Yeah.
He's a good bloke.
Yeah, they're all good blokes. Yeah, all good fellas. Very good to have good blokes. Okay, Mark. Well, look, we got through the events. It would have been really easy this week if it was just a low-key nothing week and we could have just somehow chilled through it. But the rugby gods decided to tease us by putting our, especially my physical fragility, up for grabs and put into deep, dark peril and also throwing some fucking incredible rugby at us.
It was beneficial for me as not to nod off after a lot of drinking and getting home late and not sleeping that the rugby would not be like, rest.
I wouldn't have been able to do it. I would have just nodded off no matter how exciting the game was. Did you at any stage go...
No, not during the games. I did have a wee shut my eyes, set an alarm between matches, but we're talking 30-odd minutes.
So. And you're still uploading. The first one, I watched the first video, you look a little bleary eyed.
A bit rough, eh? Someone said in the comments, you look a bit ropey. I felt a bit ropey. That is for sure.
That's a hell of a day. So you started drinking at what?
4:30.
Go home 2:00, so that's 8 hours later.
Yep.
And then
watch 6 hours of rugby with a few hours of stuff in between.
And having to like write notes.
Upload, make thumbnails. I made the thumbnails the day before because I was like, I'm not going to want to do that. I was trying to minimize the impact.
That's a good shout. 100%.
Yeah.
They were all very, very good games.
They were all bangers.
Very, very much a satisfying...
Is this the best Six Nations you've ever seen?
Yeah, look, and I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, I'm no aficionado of the Six Nations.
Yep.
I've caught the odd Six Nations fixture here and there, but it's not a point of viewing for me generally. But since starting the podcast, I've been like, well, I better fucking watch it.
Yeah.
So since I started watching it, there's been a couple of years where we've been like, nah, okay, we kind of know exactly what's going to happen every week. Every single weekend's had like some...
Drama, upset
result. And every
closer than expected result, that kind of thing.
And then it's actually just built to a really great crescendo as well. Like it's all coming down to that last final kick. Like,
literally the last action of the game still decides the title.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It was brilliant. It really, really was.
Yeah,
was,
I've been watching like before the channel I would like, you know, keep an eye on it. If there was a game on at 9 a.m, oh yeah, I should turn that on. But I was never like, I must watch every game of the Six Nations.
No, it's just not our
until
it's,
I started
it's not
the channel.
It's not our tournament.
2019 is probably the first year that I watched every game.
Yeah.
And none of them none of those years have been like this.
Yeah, it's terrific, wasn't it?
I mean, a big part of that is the improvement of Italy because they always just... Often their games were on at 3 a.m, and I was like, I am not getting up
so
at
you just
3 a.m.
So you wouldn't just watch them?
No, I'm not getting up at 3 a.m. to watch Italy get beat by 40 points.
There's no point.
No one is like sitting on the edge of their seat waiting for me to upload that match review.
And the cool thing about it was you would be thinking, well, actually, Wales have just replaced with Italy. They're just the team that gets pumped by 40 points. And you would be forgiven for thinking that was going to be the case for the rest of the tournament, especially after those first two rounds.
Yeah.
But they, my God, I thought they were unlucky against Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
They really, really tested the Irish far more than the Scottish and the English.
Yep.
Put in an incredible defensive effort and were thoroughly deserving of their victory versus
the Italians. Italy. Yeah,
so
exactly.
That was, I know there's only one win out of the tournament, but of all the teams that made the greatest strides, you know, you can definitely say Italy's up there because of, you know, getting that victory against England. Unlucky not to get a victory. No, obviously they beat Scotland and obviously are a team now at the big boys table. But from where Wales were, they can actually walk away pretty fucking happy that they actually look like a competitive tier one rugby
nation. Well, they were showing kind of game on game improvement, and I think it's borne fruit at the end of the tournament, which is great. How good is the Six Nations going to be if genuinely all Six Nations
anyone
can beat anyone?
Yeah, and that's what you want. And that's one of the things about, everyone loves talking about it, NRL. But NRL, the bottom team can beat the top team, on their day.
Yeah.
You know, you can get those upsets. But it hasn't been, it's not the case at this level of rugby. You always know that when the All Blacks play Italy, they're going to win.
Mm.
But the All Blacks are playing Italy this year.
In Wellington.
You know, Wellington, that's a graveyard for All Blacks
teams of recent years. So yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Shall we just go in the order that the games were played?
Sure, and man.
Finish off with the big...
The old big kahuna.
Ireland against Scotland.
Yes.
The scheduling of that game...
I'm trying to take my socks off. My feet are sore. And it's hurting my back.
The scheduling was good because the France game wasn't first.
Yeah. You gave me a very disgusted look
there. Yeah, very disgusted. Taking your socks off. I don't want to know about that shit.
Why? It's just socks.
Because, you know, if the France game is first, then we possibly know that nobody else can win it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Or that, you know, it's going to be a massive points margin lead or something. But the fact that this game was first, both of these teams were in it with a chance. Whoever wins this game goes top, at least until the final game is played.
And they can keep dreaming.
They can keep dreaming.
Yeah, and they have everything in their favour to want to try and get a bonus point victory. They want to go out there. They want to play attacking rugby. But it just looked to me, from what I saw, was that the Irish were far more clinical, far more cohesive.
I think clinical is the key word here.
Yeah, just really, really sharp at clear moments, and were always able, in those moments where you thought, shit, If they can score more points
next, then maybe Ireland would always be the next one to score.
They were able to win the big moments at every stage, so they never had to have the real squeaky bum moment.
Yeah,
you know, even they're 6 points up with 12 to go or something like that. And
they still had the score. Crowley kicks, because I've been a little bit critical of Crowley's goal kicking, and they're like every game. He's got one kick that you think, that's a bit of a sitter for an international goal kicker, that he fucks up.
Yeah,
he's a bit of the old Bowden Barrett from a few years ago on.
Bowden Barrett's still got it.
He's still got it. He's not shaking it off. But that penalty on like 73 minutes, Crowley slots one that he should be slotting and just keeps the Scots at arm length. And then the game kind of blows out,
with that
last try.
And that's, 12 victories for the Irish over the Scots in a row now. They're a massive bogey team. I was thinking about
that on the way here, because there are certain teams that just, no matter what goes on, seem to always beat that one team. Like, England always beats Argentina.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to matter what form either team is in. Like, Argentina's beaten us like fucking nobody's business.
Yeah.
But they just can't beat England. Yeah. Scotland can't beat Ireland. Our recent record against the Boxers is not quite that bad, but it's getting that way.
We won
at Eden Park.
We went 50-50 last year.
I think our last five, it's probably like 4-1. But you know what I mean. But yeah, we were not quite that bad.
And we got
but
beaten by fucking shitloads as well in the second one.
Yeah, but there are certain teams, there's a kind of a rock, paper, scissors thing. Like Scotland seems to match well with France, but doesn't match well with Ireland kind of thing. So Scotland were going into that one to keep their hopes alive, but... It's just another loss to the Irish.
It's just disappointing that the Scots have those. They bookended their tournament with their two worst performances. Sadly.
That's it.
And otherwise,
great run in the middle.
Yeah, fantastic run. Obviously, getting up over the English, who everyone at that point was really fancying.
Uh-huh.
Everyone was going, "This is
Grand Slam final week.
Grand final winning, like they're going to win La Crunch, and then they're going to go on to take on
South Africa. South Africa, yeah.
You know, we'll get to the English, and I think there's some definitely green sprouts to actually. Was that what they say? Green springs, green good signs.
Okay. Is
another way just to say it. Don't say something complicated when you can just say something simple.
Keep it simple.
Just that game shows some sort of good signs, but there's going to have to be some sort of decent, a decent going over where they went wrong in that tournament. But the Scots just can't quite string a whole tournament together, can they? Like, when are they actually going to win one of these things? It's really become not a monkey on the back, it's a gorilla on the back, that they haven't won it in the Six Nations era. And the French have won it 8 times?
Can't be 8 times, surely.
I think it's 8 times.
Really?
I think so.
Surely not.
You get your phone on you?
No.
Shall I? I think they've won it 8 times in this era.
England have won it. England had a good run at Eddie Jones. Wales had a few under Gatland. France have obviously won a few under Galtier. France had a big drought before they won it under Galtier in 2012.
I think I saw in the coverage that it was.
It might be right because the Five Nations ended a long, 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 long time ago.
Yeah. And the Scots still have. I know they've had the Scots have been out in the wilderness a few times in that era as well. They've been scrambling with Italy on a couple of occasions.
Yeah, yeah. It's always been a strange one with the Scots, in that they like you said, they can look world beaters in 1 week and then lose a game which you think they should be winning the next.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're the ultimate banana skin team. Mm-hmm. They will win the games that you don't expect them to win, and they'll lose the ones that you don't expect them to lose.
Are they taking a bit of the kind of, like, from a rugby championship perspective, like Argentina, in that they can, like, knock over the Springboks?
They're a wild card.
They've never won the rugby championship. They've made World Cup semi-finals but can't get to a final kind of thing. Like, they can roll a team in a quarter-final.
When was the last time they went to a semi-final?
Argentina?
No, I thought you said the Scots.
Oh, no, the Scots haven't been to a semi-final.
Yes, they have.
For a long time.
91.
Okay.
They lost to England.
There you go.
Still more than Ireland.
But you know what I mean?
Hold that over Ireland's head.
Scotland can roll a team, but not the Irish.
No. Yeah. And it never even looks like they're pushing for the victory.
Well, Jamie Osborne scored after 3 minutes.
Yeah. 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 Which was a lovely little move. Was that Doris to the line, little ball to Doris played really well. Crowley? And then
Crowley's been sexy as fuck.
Yeah.
I've been liking the look of Crowley.
Yeah, he's been looking. When they made the chart change from Prendergast to Crowley,
it's been a different story, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
He's not been like Jalibert is the sexy. He offloads like mad.
Oh, Jalibert.
He does dinking kicks through. He gets line breaks. He throws an intercept pass.
If Interback comes back right now and full fitness, he's not. Jalibert won them that game.
But Crowley, anyway, we'll get to Crowley's been getting the team just humming, just getting the back line humming. He put Frawley into space with the last penultimate try? Like just
gets really flat to the line and then is super crisp with his passing.
Yeah.
You know, I've been loving the really, look of that. Really nice.
And then combine that with him, I think he only missed one goal kick, which was a hard one. So
it wasn't
consummate performance.
It wasn't all dog shit from the Scots in this game.
No, it was very tit for tat. Like 3 minutes Ireland try, 7 minutes Scotland try, 11 minutes Ireland try, Balakun got another one.
Yeah.
Did you see he got like the Rising Star Award?
Oh, did he?
And he, like, in the interview, like, oh, you got the Rising Star Award. And he's like, 28's pretty old to be getting a Rising Star Award.
Oh, good thing.
Yeah, but he's so quick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's friggin' lightning. I love watching
it's nice
that guy
to
play.
See him get some a decent amount of time at international level. He's clearly, it's interesting, it's totally different from the New Zealand model. It's like your prime years for being a winger in New Zealand.
Like 21.
Is 19 to 23.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By 25, you're under pressure from the next 19-year-old.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There's another freak show coming through who's like... Yeah. Remember that happened to... They happened to, like, guys like... Rokotoko. You know, Rokotoko was the man going into the... what year was that? 2005 Lions Tour. And then he didn't make the team.
Yeah.
Because Sinavini Sivavatu just went absolutely apeshit at Super Rugby level. And it was like, well, that guy's better than...
Right. Yeah.
And then Sidavini ripped the world up, you know. Like,
for a few years.
Yeah, for a few years, and then got replaced by...
I think that's why Rico's always wanted to get into the centres, because he's seen this story before.
Yeah.
Anyway, we digress. Yeah. Oram scored 3 in the first half. Darcy Graham got one for the Scots. Russell scored a nice one.
Yeah, nice. Just kept the ball out in front of him and, like... they didn't know whether to commit on him or like turn their body.
He's had a good tournament.
Yeah, he's had a great tournament. Really, really good, great tournament. I don't think you can blame this loss on him.
Mm.
Like, he takes his opportunities. He does well. He set up a couple of nice tries as well.
Yeah. Durham Murray came off the...
Durham who?
Murray.
Murray.
Spelt Murray, but he's pronounced Murray.
Murray. Is that like...
it's a regional thing, apparently.
That's bullshit. He's Murray.
it's like Rafe Fiennes.
Imagine if someone...
Rafe. My name is Rafe.
Imagine
someone... Fuck you, I'm not Ralph.
Imagine somebody comes to a, like, only hung a high school or whatever and goes, Murray. Fuck off, Murray. Not going to happen.
Or even Irish people in the preview, because I said, oh, Murray's coming in because Ryan's injured. People are like, what the fuck? We don't say Murray in Ireland, you twit.
Murray.
We're not French.
Murray. But then that's, who's that? I used to love watching it with my nana, because it was something we could both laugh at, was Keeping Up Appearances.
Oh, yeah.
With Mrs. Bucket. Mrs. Bouquet.
Putting on airs, right?
Yeah.
He's got one. The Darge one gets it back within, was it 7? Rory Darge, he's celebrating. That's a great try from the Scots, but that's the end of their scoring.
Yeah.
And Ireland, just keep them at arm's length.
Yeah, exactly. And
then push the scoreline out.
Like, keep it interesting enough.
The Scots kept it a contest for long enough.
It would have been, for the Scots, it's the hope that kills them, I guess.
Know.
You know, they just
been riding high. Like, if we can beat the French, if we can put 50 on the French, then we can fucking beat the Irish. The Irish got manhandled by the French. Yeah,
exactly.
But no.
Who wins next weekend if the French and the Irish play?
That's a sexy question, because the French have conceded a shitload of points.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe the Irish.
Yeah. The defensive structure seems to be going a little bit up the wee-wah with the French, but this... I love this. Just you score a fuckload. Fucking welcome to Super Rugby, everybody.
I know. I was actually thinking about that. The amount of shit that people are always like, "Well, I can't get into Super Rugby because they just don't tackle. There's no defense. It's just a joke of a team. It's just touch rugby. And you guys are fucking playing out 43-21, 48-46.
But isn't it fun? Isn't it interesting? Isn't it great to watch?
It's not always like defensive shit, like not tackling. Sometimes it's just guys are really good. Like 100%. A lot of Super Rugby's played in the summer.
Yeah, so that's right.
There's dry pitches, dry ball. You're
ready to go.
It's fucking good rugby,
100%. And like keen as athletes ready to like bust ass. And like imagine if you went to a fucking basketball game and it was 12-9.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I love me some traditional basketball. Because
it's funny because I was talking to your brother, your older brother, about the Six Nations. And I was talking about how, you know, I get up to watch the games, 3 a.m. or whatever. And he's like, oh, geez, I couldn't get up to watch like Six Nations at that time. But I was like, last week the Scots and the French played a 90-point game. And he was like, what?
Yeah, no idea.
He couldn't believe it because he just assumes, you know,
we just think it's
turgid. It's all
turgid, it's like one off the ruck running.
12-9, you know.
Like, just box kicking all day. Yeah, obviously there is aerial ball.
Yeah.
But it's been a great attacking tournament.
It's been so sexy.
It's been the antithesis to South African rugby.
Tony Ball. Come on, man.
It's been a palate cleanser from Rossi Ball.
That's the Irish game you're thinking of.
Yeah. Well, that one really stuck
in your craw. But the other games, they play some sexy stuff as well. Colby getting into there. Kurt
Lee. Liked that bit where they put up a midfield line-out drive. That was really. Really fun.
Sexy stuff.
Anyway, sorry, that was just a little bit of bait, and if you took it, I apologize.
Tony's fishing.
Just a little out there.
He likes
fishing.
We do
that for the engagements. You go, the guy in the fucking hat doesn't even watch the games. He's an asshole. Well, thanks for the engagement. I appreciate it.
Tommy O'Brien scored a couple of late ones, pushes it out. 43-21 feels like a bit. It didn't feel like 43-21.
And I've got to be honest, it's not the game that I watched the most.
The 3 a.m. game after a stag party.
Yeah. I'm not watching that. Mm. But I did. I've caught up on it, but I did know the result beforehand.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it was a cracking game. Ireland, with that result, put themselves well in the race, and suddenly all Irish fans uncomfortably become England supporters.
Yes.
They feel like a lot of comments are like, I feel dirty.
I need a shower. And then they get to like immediately after the 80-minute thing go, fuck it, if fucking Chesham runs in that ball, if Pollock's not such a piece of shit and just holds on to it.
Exactly.
Yeah, they can feel.
A lot of Scottish fans after this game were just like, oh, thank God I don't have to support it. That would have been very uncomfortable. Now I get to fully cheer for the French.
Yeah, nice.
But there you go. 43-21. It was a cracking game.
Yeah.
I liked Crowley. I liked Balakoon. I liked Russell.
Yeah. I liked Jamison Gibson Park and the sharpness of his pass, even though he got blasted over.
Ty Furlong was scrummaging the house down.
Yeah. Jamison Gibson Park got defensively shone up by Finn Russell for that try, but that was a difficult situation.
Yes. It was a good game.
Good game.
It was a good game. The next game was Wales against Italy.
And this is the one where you're thinking, the Welsh are looking, they're trending well, but you're like, well,
can they get a win?
Can they get a win
for so long?
And the Italians aren't easy beats.
No.
They're not the team. Wales are going in underdogs, aren't they?
Yeah,
well they and truly.
And Italy, if they'd won this game, would have in the world rankings, would have passed Fiji and Australia. It would have been like a... You know,
stake in the ground.
Like, this is where we're at. This is the team we are
that's,
now.
That's the one little bit of like sadness I have about it is the fact that It would have been really nice, and I've got a lot of admiration for what Italy have been doing over the last couple of years. It would have been really nice for them to have their best ever Six Nations result. But
still finished above England.
Yeah, but it's not their best ever result, you know.
Two wins.
Yeah. But it was really nice to see Wales get pay for their hard work and their efforts, especially after those first 2 weeks where we thought, this is like watching a Heartland rugby team try and play international rugby. They have come on in leaps and bounds, and the record still doesn't look flash under Tandy, but I think he can be really, really proud of what he's done with this group of lads, and I think there's some real quality there, and there's some really good players. Wayne Wright's a fucking he's great.
What I like about them is they're playing to their strengths. They're not trying to do what they're not capable of. Like a good coach is able to look at the players and figure out a way to play.
Yeah.
And like that performance, like, I mean, there's some, like, Wainwright power over from a line out move close range.
Yeah.
Wainwright
from goes over mall. Number two. Yeah. Yeah.
Dewey Lake from a mall. Dan Edwards' try was a nice, like, that's probably, like, the sexiest one in terms of, like, that. And then he kicks a fucking nice drop goal.
Yeah.
Which is a clutch moment.
Huge. Like, and the principality is just going off. We are a team.
They are saying, like, we can fucking tackle the house down.
Yeah.
Like, that's where we back ourselves to do that. And when we get down your end, we're going to fucking.
And that's old school Wales rugby.
Bring it up.
That was Warburton. That was Tipperick. You know, that was I was going to say Jamie George.
Jamie Roberts.
Exactly. You know, those. George North. They were like. Great players, but they just did their fundamentals terrifically well.
I think this performance is very much a getting the fundamentals right and then good things will happen.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And like riding the wave of your home support.
Yeah.
Like I don't think it was the best performance that Italy has had throughout this tournament, maybe coming off the high of getting that big result in Italy last week against the English.
Yeah.
But they it's sometimes hard,
I think, to the wave of emotion of like, I mean, we saw it with Argentina. They would beat the All Blacks for the first time. Next time, play the All Blacks, get fucking hammered.
Mm.
Beat the All Blacks, was it down in New Zealand for the first time? Because the first time they beat us was Australia. Beat the All Blacks in New Zealand for the first time. Next week, get fucking hammered. It's hard
to get yourself back up.
To get yourself back up. For, like, they beat England for the first time. It's a historic result.
Yeah.
And now we've only got, in the last couple of Six Nations, we've beaten Wales in Wales. Like, we can do that.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like, it's not your Super Bowl, it's your regular season game.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, I think
and
Wales.
And no matter what, how many times you talk amongst your team and you go, look, we've got to have our heads on here, guys. It's not
the same.
It's just not the same. And the Wales were desperate. They played like a team that really wanted to go out there and get the result for their fans.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Italy still showed a lot of quality to kind of come back into the game. Because they were scoreless in the first half, I think. They missed the penalty. They were scoreless. They came into it in the second half. They put Wales under a lot of pressure. But Wales, desperation, like the Alice Mee tackle
just kept on
Ioane. There was a couple of guys who tackled. One of the other, was it the winger?
No, I know the one you mean. It looked as like for all money they were over. And you're like, how is it? A
couple of moments they just kept the Italians down. There was one that was like a leg in the way of the try line. They just fucking desperation from the Welsh. It was beautiful to see.
And from a team that's just experienced so much hardship adversity and loss, just to see that the jumper, the jersey still means so much that they're going to throw everything out, especially after the trajectory that they're on. Like, it would be very, very easy just to go, well, this is when we fucking blow it. You know?
They didn't capitulate at all. They fucking manned up.
Yeah. It was really, really impressive to see. So, like, what's the rest of the season look like for Wales? You have no idea off the top of your head?
No, not something. I know we've got the Nations Championship. They'll be touring. I don't know who they got first.
I'd like to see them play. I would be interesting to see how they go against the Aussies right now. Yeah.
Because I remember they played a really interesting series when Joe Schmidt first got appointed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon Aussies, if they are also a bit of Fiji or something like that, I think these are good games for them at the moment. I think they're still losing to us and the South Africans. I would call it probably 70% chance that they lose to Argentina right now, but I still give them a 30% chance of winning.
Give it a crack.
Yeah. Especially just that trajectory they're on. Like, they pushed the Irish and they pushed the Scots.
That's the thing. Yeah. The trajectory has genuinely been good. And I think that is, like, if you get the defense reasonably right, You can build on that. If you can score more tries, mm-hmm. if you can score, you know, got guys like Wainwright who can power over from close range, and then you can get the odd sexy one for guys like Edwards, or get the ball to the wings and whatnot. Yeah,
a little bit of X factor with the two Reeses. They both got
Reece Carey.
Yeah.
He's still good. He's didn't so score good. A try, but he had a big fucking dominant tackle.
Massive tackles, big in the scrum, big mana man.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't know what sort of mana means, mana's just about like the spirit that he brings.
Big
to the,
spirit.
Yeah, the inspiring the players around him,
yep.
being like, follow me, lads. Like, he has a big aura.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So great result for Wales, 31-17.
Ba-boom.
Loved it.
Loved it. Rugby.
That was very rugby.
It was very rugby. All these games are very rugby.
And then the final one. It was a showpiece.
Let's just spend about 30 seconds on this. There wasn't too much to talk about.
48-46.
Jesus. Nigh on 100-point game.
No.
Fucked up.
None of the Super Rugby games of the weekend had that many points on them.
None.
Not even close. The highest scoring Super Rugby game was probably 42-27.
It's a bit different when BLBRA just scores for fun.
Four fucking tries. Three from kicks.
Three from kicks. And just his what is it about his, like, is he the fastest player in world rugby at the moment?
He's definitely got great acceleration.
Yeah, just.
And his top line speed is still very good.
But he's just able to get a few yards on everybody so quickly.
Yeah.
And in those tights, but like.
And his handling is great.
Yeah. That first one where he scores, where he just takes it out of the pocket of...
Murley, I think.
Yeah. And just... Boom,
yeah.
And then goes... And then fends off...
his own man. Maybe that's the jersey clash.
Fends off out of Sog Bay.
He just sees a white, and goes white and, kind of thing.
And then gives it into the crowd. Because like,
those jerseys were relatively close. White shots, those were kind of similar. What an
entertaining game to be at for the crowd.
Fuck,
Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus. It's a perfect great game to go at. Like, my perfect game to go to and perfect game to observe as a fan isn't a game where we wipe the other team off the planet. It's a game where it's intense. We saw some great tries and we think we've lost it.
Maybe some lead changes.
Yes, lead changes. What, there were 8 lead changes in the 7 lead changes of the game? And there's lead changes, and then just when you think all hope is gone, you pull it from the flame. You pull it out of the jaws of victory. What? There's a French term for that or something, isn't there?
Is there?
Yeah.
It's called the Biarritz. It's called the Ramos.
It's called the strange high tackle. And then, yeah, just when all hope is gone, just it's a structure that they have in a lot of stories. You know how most stories, the hero looks like all hope is gone.
It's and like Gandalf coming down the hill
with the fucking eagles turn up.
Yeah.
When all hope is gone, and then you just go, the fucking, like, just, you're just beating your chest and just getting primal on
it. For us, it's like that Ireland match, length of the field, so many phases, Cruden with the kick, second attempt.
Yeah, absolutely. Or even, like, it wasn't quite the same, but the ecstasy I can compare that to is the Ben Smith kick ahead for the Bodie Barrett try at the end of that.
2015.
That was just pure bliss. Yeah.
Yep. Go, Bodie!
Go, Bodie! Yeah, Justin Marshall lost the pretense of being in Marshall.
That's right.
Yeah.
But this game was nuts. England outscored France tries-wise. 7-6.
Wow. Just the goal kicking is the
difference.
Boot.
And I liked, because Borthwick's been under so much pressure, and last week against Italy,
they played footy.
Last week against Italy, it was like, my plan is to kick the ball to Tom Roebuck. But this week, it was like, let's fucking play some rugby, boys.
Yeah. Well, where has this been? Like, they've got a good...
If they'd played like that all tournament, they wouldn't be finishing with one
they've
win.
They've got fucking... In the likes of Chesham and Maro Itoji and Erlandstall and all that, they've got some serious ball carriers that can get some real good go forward.
Mm-hmm.
For some backs that have got some silky skills...
Freeman's fucking good.
Yeah. So just play some fucking rugby. That is rugby. Play it. You don't have to fucking box kick the ball to death. Like, it was, and then, you know, you get a somewhat better performance. And also, at least your fans can get in behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Unlucky with the kicking. Really, really unlucky with the kicking.
Mm.
Can I go negative?
Go negative.
Fuck Henry Pollock.
That's a popular opinion right now.
God, what a... Just... For a bloke who's a young guy who's got all the skills in the world...
Just so we everyone knows, he very much started on the... I like the fact that he's got a bit of personality but he's been turned.
But, like, you're just winding people up and you're just... The way you're going on, like, such a twat. I don't know if I really believe in karma, but the moment...
He was shushing the French fans.
That he was shushing the French fans. I was like, they're lost. They're fucking lost. Something's going to happen that's going to shit on you now, bro.
I'll admit, that did not endear me to him.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I kind of hope you lose.
Yeah, and it's just like, you fucked.
Because that'd be muddy. It's like, you know, you ever see those videos, it's like, celebrating too early, and it's like a bunch of guys riding their bikes, and they're like,
I didn't like the fall over. It was just those two that went off, and they treated like it, they just scored an extra time winner in Freeman a fucking Champions League, Pollock,
yeah.
And they ran off to the corner and did their thing. But the rest of them all went back to the line and said, shit, we've still got fucking 3 minutes to play here, guys.
Mm-hmm. It's against France, and France, game not over.
And then the other thing that I don't think he actually made any really wildly great contributions, but he made one really, really bad one after one that could have been a match winner.
Mm.
Like, after they do the clearing out and they do a box kick to the Jelly Bear, and Jelly Bear goes and does some nuts-ass shit and gets them right back down there, and they lose that 30 metres that they just kicked away.
Yep.
Apollo goes in, strips the ball, does... He's a freak. He's a great player. He's a great physical specimen, can do amazing things. There's fucking, what, there's 45 seconds left on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a little bit of space outside him. He's got French players coming up on him. He's getting a man from behind tackling him. Like, the whole game is on the line. Go to ground. You're surrounded by your own players. You should be fine. You can recycle. Mm-hmm. You guys can... You hold on to the ball from that stage, but he throws the miracle, tries to throw the miracle pass that goes to ground, and they lose the ball.
They did lose the ball.
So dumb. It's arrogant and it's dumb. Your fucking dumb arrogance with your shushing and your dumb arrogance to not have any sort of understanding of like where the game is at and what you should be doing in that moment. I'm all for throwing the ball around, I'm all for playing. But just some level of game awareness. That is some of the most stupid rugby I've ever seen in my 42 years of watching rugby. Mm. That is mind-bogglingly dumb rugby. And he needs, like, he's young, man. He, like, I think somebody needs to, like, put an arm around him and, like,
easy to
and then uppercut him at the same time. Be like, dude, like, you've got the ability to be a once-in-a-generational player if you stop being such a fucking dickhead. Like, pull your fucking head in, earn the respect of the opposition by doing amazing things, and there's no reason to be an arsehole. Sure, have a bit of fun off the field, show your personality in ways when the moment is appropriate, but be a fucking professional, because right now you're just being a piece of shit asshole.
He's a young man.
Yeah, I know, but there's a lot of young men in rugby, and like but nobody is like acting like an absolute prize pig to the level of this guy.
Mm.
And it's so irritating, the fact how fucking talented he is as well. Mm. I think he could be an absolute once in a generational talent player, but he lost that game for England, and he lost the tournament for Ireland. Henry Pollock, you've been told. I think that's the biggest serve I've ever given up. You've
just been told off.
Yeah, well, not that. I'm sure he's not a watcher, but geez Louise.
Yep.
Jeez Louise. Was that too heavy? Was that too harsh? Do you disagree with any of that?
Well, no, as soon as he started shushing the French crowd, I desperately wanted them to lose.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of didn't mind up until that point.
Yeah, I was... No, I like, honestly,
I was appreciating the spectacle.
I was cheering for England because I wanted Ireland to win the tournament.
Right.
So, like, I was like, when he, like, if it wasn't the 13 to score, what's his name, sorry?
Freeman
goes through, and I was like, put the ball down, because he ran a little bit closer. So I was like, oh, when I shouted it out, and I was like, whoa, I'm really going for England here.
Right.
But yeah, come on, Henry, you're so good, buddy, just pull your fucking head in. Anyway,
did you want Ollie Chisholm to go closer to the posts with that intercept on Jelly Bear?
Yes, he should have, but the guy scored two great tries. He set up another try for the other lock, not Mario Toji.
Coles, yeah.
Like, he played terrifically well.
Good game.
He was so good. It's a bit harsh on him, but it is still really true.
Yeah, he was busy celebrating, and he should be.
It sucks.
Just angle a little bit closer,
especially when your bloke isn't going so well. It's such harsh consequences for a guy who played so fucking well.
Yeah,
and like he pulled that play out of nothing. Like
he read the jelly bear pass.
Yeah, he did everything possible right. But and it really feels like it's splitting hairs. But at that level,
you should know.
But at that level, that's what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's 1-2%
is that is true. What do you think of Genji collapsing the mall penalty try for the French? The media were questioning Borthwick as they were. They thought that was a bit harsh. I think collapsing a mall that close out is always going to be
hot water. Yeah, I think that you're asking for danger. You're asking for trouble if you do that, basically. So I didn't go away. And there were the two refereeing moments that I found.
One's the advantage.
The advantage.
I didn't like that one. There were people who said, because I mentioned it in the review, people who said, no, the ref had said he'd kind of downgraded the advantage to a knock-on advantage. But it's such a quick
and the quick thing. Moments that you say, and I'm sure teams have processes in place. Okay, we have penalty advantage.
Yep.
We have knock-on advantage, what sort of shapes they set up to play for what sort of plays they actually end up putting on.
Penalty advantage is always Hail Mary's on because there's no consequences.
And they do a little dink kick.
It happens all the time. You see teams get a big intercept and then it's like, oh, well, we're going back for the advantage anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he goes penalty advantage and they go a couple of phases. They set up for their little dink kick that they're going to do. And just before Finn receives the ball, they go penalty advantage. No, he goes, knock on advantage only, penalty advantage not. Something like that. He goes, and then they're already in the process of going through the play and then it turns into a kick for BLBRA
who scores.
It was
Ramos pounces, gets to DuPont. DuPont kicks long. Bielberry does his thing.
Do I think
it's a beautiful try?
It's a lovely try. Do I think it's a bit shit? Yes. Do I think it's just a bad break that you have to take in rugby? Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. It sucks.
It kind of sucks because it's very rare that the ref calls penalty advantage and then gets told by the TMO.
Yeah, no. I can't think of another example.
Change the decision mid flow. I can't.
And it was like, as the ball's in the air going into Finn's hand. So I don't remember anything like that before, but at the end of the day, it wasn't a penalty. So what are they supposed to, and they can't call it back over that sort of technicality. It's just a shit situation.
Mm.
And you got to take it on the chin and try and win the game. So
what was the other one? The high tackle.
I didn't see any evidence. I don't know what the angle. He had a better angle than us, but from what you can see on the camera angle,
the
final penalty. I just don't know what was particular. The guy goes in low to the tackle. Maratoji does that sort of stop when you do it on a player who's doing one off from the ruck, and you kind of over their head sort of thing. Mm. Like you see thousands of those. You never see a high tackle. But to give the benefit of the doubt to the referee, he was right there. And I don't know what the other arm was doing. Arm was up around the head.
Yep.
But it looked super innocuous from the angle.
Then they got another advantage later from offside. The thick one, and Ramos. Fucking ice in that motherfucker's veins.
Oh, man.
Some people are giving Itoje shit for kind of coming in and saying,
oh, it's the game's on the line, man.
Yeah. I don't blame him for that.
Yeah, yeah.
He should be doing everything in
bit
his
of
power.
A bit of gamesmanship. Yeah, we're not playing fucking golf here. Just a little bit of gamesmanship and all that sort of thing. I didn't really have a bit of a problem with that. But Ramos, man, like,
if there's a guy you want kicking for the mortgage, it's probably Ramos.
Do you want Ramos or do you want don't tell me his name. I ain't gonna get it. He's ruined my life a number of times.
Mornay Steyn.
No, not Mornay Steyn.
Andre Pollard.
Andre Pollard, kicking for your life.
I reckon Ramos has probably got a better percentage, but that's just off my butt. There's no stats.
It's off my ass.
Pull it straight out of my ass.
Yeah, okay. That was.
But this game.
But it has just. But the way.
Ramos just wins this game.
Yeah, he does. And just that kick itself, it's just a relaxed he doesn't look tight.
What
he doesn't
the look, fuck, man? That's the just pressure Iceman, of eh? All pressure.
It's just the Iceman. He just does the right. It just you wouldn't the way he kicked the ball. It looks like he's just down the park kicking the ball through the
unbelievable.
Absolutely pure as it. You know,
and it was he, not trying as to soon as he it, hit it.
He's just
he put his arms out like I fucking got this shit.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. It was so good.
I love the fact that he kicked it as well because sometimes you see a guy, like I remember Australia played Italy a few years ago and I think it was like Tane Ebmed or one of the guys came on from the bench, was it Ben Donaldson?
Yeah.
Like kicked to win the game for the Wallabies, never lost Italy or something and then he just fluffs it. You're like, oh, that's rough.
Yeah. It just got to him.
Yeah.
Totally got to him.
But Ramos is such a cool customer.
He's Iceman, man.
And the crowd gets to celebrate.
Yeah.
Pollock gets to eat shit.
Yeah.
It's a great moment for everybody. Unless you're Irish, you're like, fuck.
What I loved about the...
Unless you're English as well.
The French are a vindictive fucking group of people, man. Like, the way I can tell that is some of the wars they've had in their past. But also, they focus on Ramos for a second and show the French team celebrating for maybe a second and a half.
And then Pollock.
And then there is 18 seconds of close-ups of Englishmen just on
looking
the
depressed.
Looking on the verge ben of tears. Earl's,
the death stare, just staring off into the void.
Fucking Ben Earl, he's the fucking like long-lost twin brother of that guy from the Goonies. And then it's just, and they're just loving. Watching the English, they prefer watching the English
in misery than
their own place.
That's great. Well already. Done, France.
Yeah, and everyone's just like, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
The roast beef.
Yeah. It was a hell of a game. Like, there's no way to actually break down every try.
One of the greatest games.
Yeah.
And like you say, just like that is like you couldn't script like that's like a movie. If you wrote that as a movie, it'd be like. Oh, it's a bit far-fetched.
Come on. Every sports movie ends with a big moment.
You can't have it like that. You need to make it more realistic.
Yeah, well, one team gets up over the other, and then things get a little bit contentious for a
fucking celebrating right in their faces, right as they've won the game.
Yeah.
No, it was a fucking
He's really set himself up as the bad guy.
He's becoming a bit of a villain, isn't he?
Yeah. I want to like him, but was I too harsh on him?
It was a bit of a dick move. Celebrate like that when you've won the game.
When you've won the game. Well, even celebrating like that when going shoosh to the crowd. Like, he literally going on like he scored in like the 91st minute of a football game. Like, it was just dog shit.
Personality.
So what are they saying? I haven't read much about it. What are they saying online about Pollock?
That he's a pillock.
Yeah, right.
He's not well liked at the moment.
By his own fans as well?
Generally, yes.
Yeah, pull your head in, mate.
Incredible weekend of rugby.
Yeah.
The reason I'm wearing Portugal.
Portugal.
They played the final of the Rugby Europe Championship.
You don't need to tell me. I was all over this game all weekend. It's all I could think about.
Georgia have won that competition.
Georgia.
8 years in a row.
Wow.
And I don't think I've lost a match in like 43 matches.
Holy fuck.
Haven't even lost a match.
Jeez Louise.
And Portugal beat them in the final in Georgia.
Nice one. Well that done. High five Portugal. Was for you, Portugal.
Portugal.
Yeah.
Obrigado.
I don't know anything else other than obrigado. Guapa. Guapo. That, I don't know which is which. One means pretty lady, one means pretty guy, pretty boy.
Guapa. Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Jose Mourinho.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. You should keep it up.
Lisbon. Benfica.
What's it, Lagos? I've been to Portugal.
Lagos?
Isn't
that in like Nigeria?
I thought I'd been to Lagos. I've been to Portugal. Okay. I went to more than
I haven't been to Portugal.
Yeah. I've been there. Portugal. I would have only spent like 4 days there or something.
It's more than me.
It was nice.
Good weekend for the place. Iberian Peninsula generally. It was beautiful. Spain won as well.
I was like 19 and we were just traveling around and we couldn't stop speaking our shitty Spanish to people.
Oh no.
And that really fucked them off.
Yeah.
We wanted to go, gracias. And they go, fuck you, man. Yeah. Oh, sorry, bro.
I remember my brother told me he tried speaking some Spanish in Spain and the person just replied to him in like stone cold English, just like,
well, that
I
doesn't
speak English.
All right. No, I. And I'm old, so I traveled so long ago that English wasn't even that much.
My brother's older than you, so it was before you went there.
Well, I went to Spain in 2002.
Yeah, it was before that.
I remember being in Spain and just being in places where there was no fucking, was not a lick of English.
There we go.
It's hard when you just don't speak the language. No apps to help you either.
Yeah, back in those days.
Yeah, right.
I speak Chinese.
Chinese. I've been to China.
I didn't get any chance to use the Chinese at your bachelor party. I didn't get a chance to show off to anybody.
You're waiting for someone to...
Waiting for somebody to buzz some Chinese.
Does anyone want a bit of... anyone want to chat some Chinese with me?
I love to show off.
Yeah, mate. A big old show off. My golf wasn't that great in the week, was it?
That was the one thing, like, because you lent me a couple of golf clubs for about a year, and I have not used them once, and I didn't feel any regret for not using those clubs at the driving range or anything until that stag party, because we're playing that, virtual golf or something?
Yeah, and big simulators.
And I was just awful.
I was
like, well, me and your brother were on one team against two of your other mates, and once... we took my ball.
Because Scramble or Ambrose.
So I had a couple that were all right, but your brother was always like 4 meters closer.
Yeah, right.
So it was always his ball. Even when I had a nice one, he was still a bit nicer. Right. But there was once where I hit a fucking terrible shot.
And he
hit
it off.
It went like 40 meters when it's supposed to go 150.
Yeah.
But he hit in the bunker.
All right.
And it was like a Titanic bunker that you could not hit off. Even the app was like, you should take Mark's ball. It's not going to be as shit as that. So.
Right. You took yours.
Yeah, it was pretty embarrassing.
I have to give my brother 7 shots when we play.
He's better than me.
Yeah. Yeah, he used to be better than me.
It's funny how you've got, because you've got 2 brothers.
Yes.
You're the middle one.
And I'm the middle height.
Yeah, it's like the tallest brother is the oldest brother. You're the middle, and then your younger brother's shorter than you. It's great.
Yeah. We would have been very confused otherwise.
The tallest one, the youngest one, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Elsewhere
in the world of rugby.
There was some Super Rugby. I didn't see that much because I was at your bachelor do.
Yes.
Like, we had the Drua.
Drua.
Playing the Brumbies on in the background. And a few of your, like, your brother and a couple of your mates were like, oh, fuck, the Drua doing all right.
Yeah. I think I yelled at you at some stage. I didn't watch fuck all of that.
I was just catching it between drinks and golf swings. I caught a little
bit on the Friday night.
I watched the Hurricanes Force game. That was all right. I lost some money on that game.
Did you put on the Force?
I put it on the Canes by 13 plus. And then Isaiah Walker, Leah Werder gave away a stupid fucking yellow card.
You bastard.
And you cost me 10 bucks.
Mother trucker.
Just 10 bucks.
Could have done with that quiche. And then there was, I watched in my hungover state a little bit like the last 20 minutes of the Moana game.
I watched the Blues Moana in full.
Yeah. See your own team.
Blues do good.
Warriors won over the weekend.
All of your mates kept wanting to talk to me about the Warriors. They were like, hey, you do rugby with Jody the podcast. Do you do any league?
And I was because we love the league, man.
I would say that the more of them were interested in league than rugby.
That's a little microcosm of Auckland.
Some
right
of
now.
Them were trying to talk to me about rugby kind of awkwardly, and then someone else would be like, oh, but the Warriors had a good win.
what was the awkward comment that they were making?
Well, they were just trying to talk about Super Rugby, kind of like having not seen jack shit, like, oh, these guys are doing all right.
I feel like that's probably the way when I meet, like, one of Lydia's mates, or one of Lydia's friend's mates, when you got a girlfriend, their friend's boyfriend comes along, and they're like a financial advisor, and you're like... Oh, the damn Dow, eh?
How about those finances?
Exactly. Oh, the old S&P index is just doing me up the woo-bar at the moment. And they're like, well, it's quite a reliable asset finance system if you really follow it quickly. Oh, Jesus, we're not getting into the details. Was it a bit like that?
Kind of.
And didn't anyone say the problem with rugby these days?
No.
Didn't get that?
Not a single one.
All right. Okay.
But, yeah, the Hurricanes beat the Force.
Okay.
The Drua beat the Brumbies.
Yes.
The Brumbies rotated their squad a bit, and I think it maybe cost them, but I think the Drua are still winning that either way.
Yeah, I think so.
The Drua were in bar.
Yeah, it was pretty wet out there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it started pissing down halfway through the match.
Yeah. When it rains in Fiji, it rains.
Then the Crusaders played at an arm wrestle with the Highlanders. I was watching that while you were getting waxed.
Oh.
So I was watching that with the South African guy and his Kiwi mate, who's married to South African.
All right.
His missus is pregnant. So congratulations on your baby. I remember that from the conversation we had.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, the Crusaders, it was an arm wrestle for a while, and then the Crusaders just kind of pulled away 29-18.
Yep.
Reds beat the Tars. I saw not much of that, but it seemed like a cracking game.
Yeah, nice.
It was 26-17, and then the Blues, yeah, flogged Moana. 43-7. Battle of the 09.
Battle of the 09. For anyone back who from last year.
For anyone who uses the, a area code
the Tars days. Are... I still like referring to Auckland as the 09. The Moana are struggling. It'd be nice to see them back at North Harbour Stadium, their spiritual home, next week.
Mm. But they're not. I think they're not smart.
Have you heard the talk on Tana Rumanga?
He might be becoming an assistant coach with the All Blacks.
Yes.
So he's currently Moana Pacifica's head coach.
So that's the hot take. So they thought, you know what? You're not that great at coaching rugby, so let's make you a head coach of. But I can see it, like, he would get on well with
Artie
and players. And Artie also he carries a huge amount of. He's not the head coach, but he's got obviously got a lot of rugby now, and he carries a huge amount of mana. Yeah,
mana is a good word to know if you're in New Zealand.
It is. It is a helpful. It's a
great word.
It is a great word, and if you know what it means, you know what it means. It's hard to kind of describe it. Somebody's sort of
aura,
yeah,
presence,
yeah,
respect, like level. Highly. There's lots of things.
So you could say someone like Sia Khaleesi has a
lot of
huge mana.
Mm.
And Henry Pollock needs to work on his mana level. Yes,
but yeah, it was indeed a weekend.
It was a weekend. Things are going to get a little bit dicey with the podcast. Well, the podcast is not going anywhere at all, but the podcast will be going somewhere.
This podcast has been going for a fucking long time.
Who would have thought? No one said it would last.
Did anyone say it wouldn't last?
I don't think anyone gave a shit. No. But anyway, I'm getting married very, very soon.
I'm coming to your wedding.
Yes, you are.
What a relationship we've formed. Yeah, you've come to my dad's funeral. Yeah, I'm going to your wedding. Yeah,
wow. You came to my stag do. You met my mates. That's good. No.
Jonas. Jonas.
Jonas. Holy shit. Jonas is a character. He is very much a character.
He was pretty half cut when I was having a chat with him, but he has good value.
What was he chatting to you about?
Oh, we're talking about kids and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny, guys our age just immediately go into kid chat. How many kids have you got?
How many kids
how old are they?
They're good. And you got to meet Aaron, big fan of the pod.
Yes, we're going to drink your whatever beers they are.
Yeah.
Like, what are they? Foamy, what the fuck is it called?
They're like smoothies.
Smoothie beers next week, yep. Or whenever our next episode is.
Yep, Monday. And then
the last pod before Tony ties the knot.
And then I don't know if we're going to do another pod for about we're probably going to take near on a month off.
Because Tony's going on a honeymoon.
I'm getting married, and then I'm going on getting to Thailand for a bit, and probably come back sometime after, I reckon, late April.
So if you want to sponsor us, you've got at least one more episode to get it done. And
by the way, these are actually, the way we've timed it, we've actually timed it really well for us.
Six Nations is done,
and we are not having to stress too much. And the low point of the podcast for the year for us is the weeks where it's just super. We enjoy
mid-season Super Rugby. Mid-Super Rugby. Pre-playoffs URC.
Yeah.
There's no Champions Cup final. There's no URC final.
We get the podcasts are fun. If you watch them, we talk a lot of shit. Yeah. But there's not like,
there's no big juicy.
There's no Rugby Championship Six Nations November things.
Mm.
Yes, indeed. And a big thank you to our sponsors.
Yes. Can I say another thank you to our powerlifting coach, Owen, at ESF Strength. There's Owen his Fagan? Link down in the description. Owen Fagy.
Good on you.
Fagan.
Fagan?
Fagan.
Did I say it right? Okay, cool.
And W2 Paraplanning. I'd never heard of Paraplanning.
Is it just the name of the company is Paraplanning?
Yeah, W2 yeah. Paraplanning.
It's financial advising.
Yeah, they do all the back-end stuff for financial advisors, reports and analysis and all right. That stuff.
What a dull.
All the information is down in the description. They've got a fucking slick website.
It's slick!
And Owen's got, like, Instagram and shit.
Yes. Get into it. Lift some stuff.
Yeah, you need to do some lifting to get your back in shape. Yeah,
my back's... Hopefully I'm in better shape next weekend. Absolutely.
One more pod before he gets married.
One more pod before we get married. What should we do for it? Should we do a
question? Furiously masturbate.
just spit air, just like having turns. No, I was going to say something really, really gross.
Inappropriate, and I didn't say it.
Should we do a questions week or something like that? Well, there's rugby, but should we do questions or something like that? All right, we'll do a questions.
Go with some topics. Who do you think is going to win the next World Cup?
I'd love to. That's a good one. I don't want to do it because I've got I'm so busy at the moment with wedding shit. But it'd be really cool. You know what we did? I wonder if we can just get it audio-wise. Get people
to send in stuff?
Send in their audios and we just play it and answer their questions. I don't know. If you got any ideas, let us know. Something a bit different next week.
True bit.
All right, good on you, Mark. Well done. What a champion for staying up all night and doing the thing. I appreciate it.
I rolled back the clock.
You did great. You did great. And you know what? You did great too for getting to this podcast.
If you lasted all this hour and 10 minutes through.
Hour and 10 minutes.
You're a champion.
You are a champion. We do appreciate you.
Take care, folks.
Adida, bye-bye.
Greatest championship of rugby.
On the greatest podcast called Two Cents Gets Distracted.
Bye-bye.
Adida.